We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today is Kristen Hernandez and Leif. And for the audience, the reason why I was laughing to start was because we've had a rough start to the show. This is the third time we started.
I lowered the window. I'm not touching it again. I'm, you know, it's recording. We're good. We're ready
to
go.
Come on, man. Yeah, no, it's been a rough start. Rough start for Heat Beat. So third time's a charm. So I have Leif and Christian. It has been a while since they've been on because, as I mentioned the second time, Alf has hogged all the podcasts.
I know. A lot of really good guest spots, though. I haven't even, like, how could I complain that I haven't been on the podcast?
Don't even try to recreate what we did. It's over.
I'm trying, really. I said something good. I swear I did.
It's over, yeah. Dude. What? No. It's gone.
He tried. That's good job. Good effort.
Where's that kid?
Yeah, right.
I think since I'm recording the Skype call as a backup, I have what we did like to start the show. So that'll be like the lost episodes.
That's funny. A little like 2-minute blooper at the end. You could like put it up to me realizing I'm not even recording it.
I can't wait for the, because what I'm doing is, because I know in the off season we're not going to record as many shows because there's not going to be anything to talk about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put like not really best ofs, but like some of the pre shows that we've done have been really funny, and you know, we have some of that recorded and some lost content for you, the audience. So that's going to be really fun during the off season when we have nothing coming out. You'll at least get some of that stuff. That'll be a lot of fun.
I mean, speaking of fun, you know, as somebody who hasn't been on the podcast in a while and got a chance to listen to all the frequent ones with all the you know, the recent new guests that
the big timers
that have came on. Yeah, I mean, That's been a lot of fun. So I'm happy to sit on the sideline if my team is winning, right?
Unlike the Heat tonight.
Heat culture.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, cuz I really want to thank 790 the Ticket for all they've done. They've been tremendous. I mean, we have nothing to do with them. Nothing outside of like Twitter interactions, and they've posted our stories on their Facebook page. They've talked about us on air. I know Ethan mentioned Heat Beat on air the other day. Chris Cochran, Chris Whittingham, Ethan, everybody, a lot of people on the station have been very, very kind to us. So I want to thank you guys. This is a student run, or at least Brian and I are students, and this is something that we started from scratch. So the fact that you are really supporting us means like the world to us. So thank you very much to 790 the Ticket. Doubt you're listening, but if you are, thumbs up. You guys are awesome.
Did they pay you for that plug?
No. That was good though, right?
That was pretty solid though. That was a good
tryout, dude.
That was a tryout. Listen, clip for sure.
At Entercom, I'm here, dude.
I think this is the appropriate moment to also for me to say thank you for Heat Beat for paying me for all of my tweets, content, and articles. It's really great to be so financially stable because of the money that you guys provide to all of us.
Christian, have you gotten your direct deposit yet?
I was going to say, I figured it was a check that you guys were doing and it just hasn't arrived.
That's just the first paycheck.
I'm still waiting on that first one. I know it's coming soon, but you know, sometimes it gets lost in the mail. You know, it gets into the wrong country. I don't know.
Stuff happens, man.
Yeah.
It was funny because we're having like these like test Google ads. I don't know if you've noticed on the website, like on the stories, there's a little ad right under the first paragraph or right above the first paragraph. And Brian and I are experimenting with Google ads to see how many times people click it and how much money we can really pull if we decide to go this route. And we were joking like, man, once people start seeing ads, they're going to start getting snippy with us.
I mean, yeah, I could imagine. Yeah, because at that point, they'll know that you're trying to turn a little bit of a profit off it. But, I mean, honestly, most people don't process that. Like, ads are something that I feel like a lot of us are just so used to at this point that we kind of just block them out.
Oh, you guys haven't even noticed?
No, I noticed, but I mean...
Are they on the website already?
Oh, yeah. They've been on for like 2 weeks.
Wow, see, that's what I'm talking about, though.
But, like, you have to, like, read a story and it's there. It's like...
No, I mean, I think that's good. That's positive movement in the right direction. I'm already writing this stuff and contributing, and it's fun. So whatever comes with that. No, dude,
we really want to pay you guys.
Home Depot appliances.
I just opened a story, and I have a tune-in Wednesday, March 23rd for Heat Spurs. So that's a good one.
That is good.
That's a good one. It's a Fox Sports ad. Yeah, so, you know, we're there. Yeah, hopefully we can, you know, Christian, you got beer, so you can't complain.
Do I?
Did you got beer? Don't you remember?
What do you mean?
I bought you beer.
Oh, yeah, right, that one time.
That one time. You guys are getting t-shirts and polos.
I'm excited for the t-shirts.
The orders are in. The polos, the t-shirts are the podcast logo, and then the polos are like just normal hippie logo. It's pretty awesome.
Nice. I love this logo.
Very cool.
Thank you for Brandon Chang, or as Alf calls him, Brian's Little Asian. Tech support, yeah. So moving on from ourselves, because we're a bunch of narcissists and we like talking about ourselves.
Yeah, that was very LeBron of us.
Yeah. Okay, we'll transition there. I was going to transition into the disaster that was Heat Spurs.
Keep going.
Yeah, okay, let's had the hashtag He Gone movement started by one Mike Scriba, who I thought was 14 years old and I learned was married.
By the way, I just saw that picture of, I guess, his wife. Scriba, if you're listening, congratulations.
Do you think Scriba listens to us?
I doubt it, but you never know.
I thought Scriba hated me.
I think that he does listen. And word up to what Christian said.
The screen, He Gone. So Mike Scriba started this He Gone movement, which was that's a top 10 Twitter night for me.
Wait, so is he from Miami?
I don't know. That's a great question. Because, I wish
I
can call
it. If he found that girl in Miami and then took her to San Antonio, that guy is a freaking genius, and we need to pay some homage to that dude.
He's from up north. That's how I became a Patriots fan, I believe, if I'm reading correctly on his
Twitter profile. He's one of those. He's a Patriots fan.
One of those.
He never smiles in pictures.
Yeah, no.
I'm seeing his wife that you guys have talked about, and he just like he's stone fit.
She's very pretty.
Yes, dude, he's totally Kawhi Leonard, but like light skinned Kawhi Leonard.
And not amazing at basketball.
I don't really see that, but
no, like I'm just saying because like he doesn't smile. It's like he's there.
You just called that
sort of
light skinned Kawhi Leonard, man.
Well, you know what I meant. I don't want to call him white because I don't know if he's white. Is he white or is he Hispanic?
I don't know.
He looks Hispanic to me.
This is very racially clumsy.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened in the?
I mean, I'm Hispanic. I think I can spot a Hispanic.
I don't know. I thought he was Hispanic, so now I'm shook.
I mean, I think we should no longer continue to speculate and move on to something else.
No,
we need that little like race board that Levitard has.
Oh,
in the
Atlanta. Well, at least I didn't think Jonathan Coachman wasn't black like Sugats did, which is just
that was awful.
Okay, so transitioning again, third time's a charm, just like starting the show, transitioning to the He Gone movement. Definitely top 10 Twitter night. That was amazing.
I mean, it's been a couple days now that I've been having some fun with this. And it's only because every day there's something new to feed on. Like, what was it today? Today was the whole thing that he might meet up with all his friends. Carmelo, CP3, and Wade. Stop somewhere for a year or two. I take less money. You know, why do you need to say that? He's doing this on purpose. I just don't know end game is.
What's the end game, Spence?
Well, I mean, I heard that the comments that came out today weren't necessarily recent comments because it was something that the person who wrote it was holding on to like 3 months worth of work before he released it. So I don't know how much that correlates to this recent stuff. But as far as He Gone, it's been funny to watch all the trolling and all that. I haven't necessarily been too much on the He Gone stuff, but definitely have been trolling Cleveland and the Cavaliers and LeBron recently. And that night was crazy because you could tweet something that had nothing to do with any of that, and it would just be quoted yes. with hashtag He Gone.
He Gone.
Other world events are going on, like somewhat. Rob Ford died. Hashtag He Gone.
and that's what like. Listen. Like, he Twitters up. Like, we're a bunch of savages. Like, we understand that. We understand that we're, like, my, I think Harden's intellect asked me why, like, because I think I talked about, like, he Twitter in their prime was just, like, on another level. And he asked me, like, what kind of things would they do? And I always love the example of the Michael Jordan, him with the trophy crying, and somebody photoshopped a giant penis in place of the trophy. And he's cuddling with it. I mean, like, that's what he Twitter is. So, like, you know,
it's the Rob Ford thing. It's basically the Levitard rants, but in tweet form.
Mm-hmm. And, like, more vulgar somehow.
Well, of course, because it's not on Disney radio.
I saw one, I think it was Bob Lee, that protester, that Cuban protester that was arrested after he went on set. And somebody was like, He Gone. And I was like, oh, God, is it bad to laugh at this? Because I know that is terrible. And I was like, it's terrible, but it's also kind of funny. But it's also, like, unhumanly bad.
I mean, I think that's...
That's He Twitter.
That's what it is. It's like everybody knows it's a joke, but it's taking it real far.
There's always those jokes that you're uncomfortable to laugh at.
How about the Cleveland radio guy that they said he cried when LeBron went back to Cleveland? And now, all week he's been like on the radio calling Miami fans, you know, like bad people and how do we sleep at night? And that was bullies, and I mean, like,
it took everything
inside of me to not like really go after that guy because, like, he took shots that were so off base and just straight ignorant, wrong. Like, in my opinion, it's almost borderline bigoted some of the stuff that he said. But I just tweeted a little bit to him, but. I wanted to say a lot more.
Christian, what were you going to say?
No, I mean, he just sounded so whiny, too. And, some of the things that he said about, you know, us all being rich and stuff like that, like, you don't know Miami very well if you really think it's just a bunch of rich people. Like, yeah, like, the neighborhoods that everybody goes to are like that, but Miami is a huge city with poor neighborhoods. And Kendall's not even bad. Kendall's like straight up middle class area. But like you start going into like Little Havana, Little Haiti, like you're like real.
He needs to take a drive down Northwest 7th Ave and then report back.
Hey, go to where UD grew up.
or there. Yeah.
Yeah. Kristen, you are rich. You live in a nice place.
I mean, I have a good paying job, but what can I say?
Can you see the ocean from your house?
I can see the bay.
that's a good setup.
Yeah,
fucking first class society right here. You don't need a t-shirt.
At least a polo though. I need a nice polo.
I'm gonna give it to somebody needy.
I'm gonna wear my Heatbeat polos to like my golf outings.
No, this is company branding, dude. You guys gotta wear that everywhere.
I'll be repping it. I have no shame in my game. I'll be repping
I have no shame either, all day. Every Heat game, I'm wearing it. Brand recognition, dude.
Yep. You got to create awareness.
I just want to work to get those NBA Finals media credentials one day when they give out a whole bunch of them.
You mean this year?
Yeah, I fucking hope so. I hope
so. You know, the NBA is like so picky. Listen, I'm not saying this. I guess it's going to sound like bragging, but like I don't mean it to brag. Like, I'm a credentialed tennis writer and U.S. soccer writer, and they let me in rooms with Jurgen Klinsmann and Roger Federer. The NBA has to, like, lighten up on its media policy, dude. Okay?
Like, are they stricter than a lot of other places?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like kind of a credentialed baseball writer. You just apply and they give it to you, and the NBA is like, no.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if Alf got credentialed?
Oh my god!
Oh, I would be petrified, especially if I were there. I would just be like, holding
that sounds like
myself.
A video series.
Someone would need to follow behind that with a camera. That's for sure.
Him in the press conference? Or no, but he wouldn't even be like talking to. He'd just be like yelling at other media members. We should get him and Spoon. Oh my god, that'd be a great television bit.
Yeah. I don't know. I've only ever read Spoon. I've never heard him. You know what I mean? So, like, it's, you don't know how somebody.
Yeah, right. I just imagine him to yell a lot.
Are you serious when you say that you're actually texting him sometimes?
Yeah, no, he reached out to me actually on Twitter, and I said, you know, basically, why the hell are we, like, using a person on Twitter to get in touch? And so he finally hit me up and just, you know, we've just been texting bullshit back and forth during games and stuff like that.
He seems like a nice guy.
He's still as petty as ever. And, but you know, I agree with a lot of that. So,
I mean, that's
my mom is captain of Team Petty, dude.
Yeah. He said he's not coming back to Twitter unless they pay him.
Unless they pay him. I don't know who that is, but
I'd consider him sending him like $50 if he'd run the Heat Beat account for a Heat Cavs playoff series.
Yeah. No, I'd give him
$200.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny.
That'd be hilarious.
Could you imagine if he took over the Miami Heat account?
Oh my god, no.
Like getting it into it with the other team's accounts.
That poor Cavs account. That poor intern.
Should I extend the olive branch there?
Oh, duh. Listen, everybody's big guest booking. Now it's your turn, dude.
That's funny.
honestly, I think he gets a lot of unfair. Like, I think Jack Alfonso said it best. Like, it's not what he says; it's the way he says it. So it comes off as funny, but like he's right a lot of the time.
That's why I liked him, is mostly because he tends to be right about things. But yeah, he has this way of dressing topics to make it like, you know, controversial, but also like, I don't know. But then my favorite part about him, honestly, was the tangents that he would go on. He would be tweeting about three different things all at once, and it would be impossible to keep up with what he was talking about.
During the Spurs game when we were getting blown out, he texted me out of nowhere, "Danny Green is a lesbian." With note, that's it. That's all he said.
I was mad at him today because Danny Green, because he doesn't look like he ever sweats, and that bothers me. Like, they're running around and they get like a close up shot, and like he just doesn't look like he looks like he just rolled out of bed, and it annoys me.
As a
fat person,
he's probably in very good shape. Same with Kawhi. Kawhi sweats, but like there's times where
nobody sweats like D-Wade, dude.
I mean, yeah, D-Wade sweats a lot. I sweat like an animal when I play sports. So, like, seeing some of these guys be out there for, like, 8 minutes and they're, like, breaking a little sweat at the top of their forehead, I just don't understand it.
Patrick Ewing was the goat sweat person.
The sweater.
Like, it was unbelievable what would be falling off the top of his head.
Oh, man.
So, I'm telling you, like, ask anybody who's my age about Patrick Ewing and his sweat issue.
He wore wristbands, didn't he, so he could wipe the sweat off all the time?
Yeah, Zoe did that for some time, too, but I think he was more just trying to copy Patrick because that was his boy. But no, Ewing did that shit for medical purposes.
So Ewing leads the league in sweat, or led the league in sweat
of all time. I have him as the one seed going in. If anybody can at me on Twitter if they got a better one than that.
Oh, dude, I remember Rashard Lewis used to sweat a lot, man.
I'm trying to think, like, who's the sweatiest guy in the league right now?
This is such a weird.
No, I know, but it's a great topic, and what are we trying to think
right now?
I mean, the only one I can notice is D Wade because we see him a lot, and I just know that I'm like, man, Dwayne sweats like me. Like I sweat a lot when I play sports, and I was like, oh,
you know,
D Wade
sweats a lot. Well, I guess just the way his sweat falls and makes his hair all weird.
Harrison Barnes is really sweaty right now.
I was just looking at him. He's
very shiny.
No, Kevin Love sweats a lot.
Can we talk about Kevin Love's stupid haircut?
That's what makes him look like he's sweaty. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, like that whole haircut then like falls apart and he gets all like, I don't know, that sweaty hair. I don't know. That's just
tragic too.
He gets a wet head. I mean, how do you expect a guy to be a good winning player with a wet head?
That's what I'm saying.
Does Kevin Love annoy you?
He's my least favorite player in the league, literally.
I mean, from a talent perspective, like it's amazing how he can put up incredible numbers because he just doesn't play the game well. He just does artificial things well. It's odd. It's really odd.
What do you mean?
Like he can put up points and rebounds. Like he has a very odd knack of getting rebounds, but he has to be around the basket, obviously. And what they ask him to do is Cleveland is stretch the floor, and then he's terrible in pick and roll, both on offense and defense usually. So it's like, I don't know. He's a hard guy to really like watching, you know.
It's interesting because he can grab all the counting stats and he has skills. I mean, I say he's my least favorite player, but that's not because he doesn't, you know, he's not a stiff. But the main thing with him is like in the league, the way that the game's played right now, if teams know that you can't defend the pick and roll, they're gonna eat you alive with it, and he is just incompetent. So when you got a guy that's like that, and just watching it happen over and over, and then watching Chris Bosh defend a pick and roll, and then have people say that LeBron left for an upgrade, that's tough. Tough to swallow for Team Petty.
I mean, Team Petty was totally justified. When people started saying those things and like writing things that suggested that, it's like how can you honestly say that about two guys so unproven? Kevin Love was always a stat padder on teams that never made the playoffs. Kyrie Irving could never stay healthy and never played defense. They both don't play defense. I mean, that's half the frickin' game. And people just assumed, oh, immediate upgrade just because they're younger. I mean,
well, I want to ask you this question because when I wrote a story, and for those of you who haven't read it, it's about the Team Petty movement and kind of why Miami feels the way they feel. And because I think a lot of the country doesn't really understand, he gave you four great years, you should be thankful. So I kind of articulated why Miami feels the way they feel. But in terms of him leaving, I've always felt like it's – and because of what I said in the story, which is basically just like this kind of insulated fan base and insulated locker room because the whole world was against you, and how the fan base and the team kind of grew together. It wasn't really that he left and for who he left. It was just the fact that he left.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, going back to what we were talking about before about, you know – people insinuating that Heat Twitter can be a little aggressive and a little, you know, they can really come at you hard, you know, if they feel that they've been wrong.
We do.
We can. It's true. We can. But a lot of that is because we were kind of like molded into that form those 4 years that LeBron was here, because the amount of abuse that team would take, that LeBron specifically would take, that Chris Bosh would take for absolutely no reason.
And then D-Wade got a reputation of being a dirty player in the middle of that.
Yeah, he did.
Among other fan bases.
I mean, I get why some people think that. I mean, I think for me it's just a lot of isolated cases that look a little questionable, and then people have just kind of like built that story. I still don't think he's really a dirty player.
I don't think so either, but he has that. He amongst fan bases that don't like the Heat, that is what they say. I mean, sure. Celtic fans, that's our go-to.
Now, Celtic fans, Pacer fans have both said things about Wade being a dirty player. But going back to the way we react and that kind of stuff, and also, when LeBron left, you have to think of it like, think of somebody who watched the Heat before Pat Riley was even there, and then you're basically like the Milwaukee Bucks or an organization like that, and then all of a sudden you get Pat Riley, Arison takes over, and you build this culture all this time. You have a track record, a history of success, and it was a lot of like through hard work. It was like blue collar, and then you get this superstar out of nowhere. In LeBron that, has that platform along with those other guys, and the whole world hates you for it as if you've been this like team that has had a silver spoon in their mouth their entire franchise history, which was so not true. Like, it's so difficult to swallow that, and we got attacked. So now we have a persecution complex a little bit, I think.
But I feel a lot of that also was just such a clash of cultures, right? So you had during those years, like the Boston and Indiana, very hardworking. So they have the reputation of being blue collar, hardworking cities compared to Miami, which is kind of like a vacation town, at least the perception is that, right? So then you have these clashes of cultures, like very, very different cultures. And then it led to Heat fans just making fun of other people's cities because, you get defensive because you get attacked.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I sit back and I think about the way we go after Cleveland. And like,
I feel bad, dude. I never do that. Man, I love Miami a lot. Like, I love where I live. And I mean, if you love your city, that's a nice thing to have. So I'll go after other things about people, but not where they live, dude.
Right. I mean, I think it's just...
I know you guys disagree with me.
I think a lot of that just kind of stems from, the general pettiness of it all. But, it's fun.
Miami and Heat fans are not responsible for the inept behavior of every sports team in Cleveland and all of the losses that they've had to endure. Like get out of here with that. Like, I don't need to be respectful or have any sort of feel sorry for them, so take it easy on them. They were ugly when we went back there with LeBron for that first game. Those were
ugly. Do you remember the battery?
Those were ugly human beings, man. And like, it's not going to get, shifted on us now. So I don't know. Part of it is me trolling when I do that. And then there's another part of me that's like, here's a dose of your own medicine. But we're just going to do it for a lot longer because our sustained success is going to allow us to put, poke our chest out.
And I don't want to make it seem like I think it's awesome. And I mean, it's not just because I don't do it doesn't mean I don't like it and think it's funny, because I live with my mother, and whoever follows me on Twitter knows that mom is a team petty captain, dude. I love it and I think it's funny. And they are. What Leif said is correct. They tried to throw a battery at LeBron. Those signs were terrible. Like,
I'm looking at one picture right now, and there's five different signs, and they read, "You're only a prince in Wade's country. LBJ, liar, baby, jerk. 11-8, looks like you left your talents in Cleveland. Akron hates you too, LeBron. And like father, like son." Those are some great fans.
That was bad, dude.
That last like, one is
like father, brutal. Like son.
I mean, Ethan said that the days leading up to that game and that game felt like those soccer matches where things are going to get out of hand. And for him, for that even to be anywhere in your mind at an NBA game, if you've been to a lot of NBA games, that's not – it is, like, family-friendly, so those people
got out of there. The NBA does a good job of that because football's not like that. I would never bring my kids to football.
Yeah, that's very true. The NFL lets you tailgate and do what you want, and they tone it down a little in the stadium, but not much. But the NBA is not like that at all, in my opinion.
Christian, did you see what DeAndre Jordan just did?
No, I was looking at all these pictures of what Cleveland fans brought to the arena that game.
Okay, name some others.
I mean, just LeBum, four guys dressed in matching shirts that say LeBum.
LeBum is such a lazy insult.
Lazy one. I mean, it's incredible. Like, I didn't see any signs when LeBron came back the first time. I don't think there were any. Like, I mean, you have to, like, a guy that great, you may hate that he left, but you at least on some level have to appreciate what he did to the point that you're not going to disgrace him publicly. Publicly.
I mean, very publicly.
Yeah, like out in actual public. Like Twitter, whatever. Everybody's a dick on Twitter. But like actually going out and holding up those signs with your face behind them right in front of him, like that takes a certain kind of just...
Cojones?
Yeah, exactly. Cojones.
Onions. Yeah, dude. People try to throw batteries at him. You know how much that hurts?
I mean, it takes onions.
You ever had a battery thrown at you?
Actually, at my school bus, yes, I did. When I played basketball in high school, we had batteries thrown at the bus when we were leaving the stadium after the game.
Really? Like that?
Yeah, but I mean, it was just like some of the kids that were in the stands. I'm not like trying to say I was in, you know, any scandal or something like that. Just kids, kids threw rocks and batteries at the bus. Yes.
Holy shit, dude! That's dangerous. Did they ever connect with anybody?
No. I mean, we were on the bus with the windows up.
You were safe in the safety of the bus.
Yeah.
What were you saying before? I'm sorry. I had to ask a follow-up.
That threw me off track.
It begged to follow. No, but getting back to the stuff in Cleveland and how Miami's been petty, but it's been a different kind of petty, and they do it. Miami does it with a self awareness that I don't think Cleveland had. Like, we know we're being petty when we're petty, right? Like, we know what we're doing,
and it makes it
funny.
Everything is done
Cleveland
with
was
intent.
Dead ass serious.
Yeah, I mean, that letter came from Dan Gilbert's heart. A lot of our tweets are just kind of, you know. When we make fun of them and stuff like that, it's a lot of trolling that we've done.
But I think that's what part of what's made this whole he gone thing so amazing is that now exactly what was happening to us when LeBron was here, all this controversy and stuff, now it's the whole league, you know, piling on to the Cavs again because of LeBron. And it's fun to be on the giving end of it, I would assume, for a lot of people, which is probably why we're enjoying this so much.
It is.
Now we know how the rest of the league felt, you know, because that's how they all ganged up on us. But the thing is that the rest of the league, I don't necessarily feel like is putting the Cavaliers' feet to the fire. So then Heat Twitter has to do it.
Well, I think what's happening with the Cavs is more how people find it funny. More so than, like, Miami got legitimate hate, right? In Cleveland,
true.
I think people are just thinking, oh, this is kind of funny. Like, we, you know, Miami has the hatred and they have the jokes, but I think everybody else, fan bases in Houston or Los Angeles, they're just looking at it like, haha, that's funny.
I mean, I think ESPN's, like, talked about this, how nationally, like, everybody around the nation that's a sports fan kind of laughs at Cleveland because of their futility in sports. Like, you know, remember that game, what happened with the Browns and Ravens where they try to kick the field goal to win the game and it gets blocked and the Ravens run it back and win?
Yes.
And
yes.
The amount of videos that came out, and this was like a huge thing on SportsCenter about how, like, you know, Cleveland fans are so distraught. Like, I think it's just a giant running joke in the country about, because it's amazing. What is it, 60 something years?
It's
no
so glorious.
Sports team. It's glorious. It's incredible.
Glorious.
It's wild.
But the best part about that is that you juxtapose it to Miami. So what you have is Cleveland, which is an older city, and then it's a very there's a lot of sports history there and a lot of losing. And then you have Miami, which is almost the opposite of what makes this so great is that Miami is like Cleveland is its antithesis. Like, it's just different in every way. The people, the geographical location, the culture, everything about it is just polar opposites, right? So you have these two cities that are polar opposites and they're fighting. And it's just like incredible how that ended up.
Speaking of what we've been fighting over and he gone, Gianni, how happy would you be if he gone became LeBron back in a Heat number 6 jersey?
Oh, all up on that, dude. They're the Heat are a superstar away.
I knew that you would be happy for that because I know that you were
a
LeBron fan.
There's yes or no, they're a superstar away.
Yes. I mean,
yes.
Like, we know that they don't have enough now. They might be able to beat Cleveland just because the matchup's really favorable for them, but
if we could somehow get Bosh back, I legitimately think this team could somehow win 4 out of 7 against a team like maybe the Spurs. The Spurs were just hot tonight, man.
Nuts, dude.
I mean,
they had Bosh and then they got crushed.
It's a deep team now.
I really like this team. And the after the All-Star break, the resiliency to not like just punt the season when Bosh goes down with this again. Ton of credit. But I don't know, you know, even if they had Bosh, I still think you're one major piece or some really good fits off the bench that can, you know, provide certain skill sets away from being able to win 4 out of 7 against a Golden State or a San Antonio. I could be wrong. I think that the one thing we do have is that big game mentality. So on that stage, you never know if guys step up. And Hassan Whiteside does have this kind of like an elite level, like game changing effect at times. So maybe, but that's tough to say that we would hang with those guys.
And when I'm saying realistic, I literally mean like possible. I'm talking that 1-3% chance. Oh, like, well, and that's all you want. You know, that's you just want the opportunity to have a chance to where something crazy could happen. You know, if you get 4 games where you get a few guys that are just totally on fire. Because basketball is a crazy sport where a lot like a sport like soccer or hockey, they can be a little bit unpredictable because, you know,
low possessions.
Right. It's.
Well, like tonight, for example, they play the Spurs, right? And they lose, and Luol Deng goes out. And I know that the team's deep. However, a guy like Luol goes out, and there's no replacement for him, right? Because he's very, they don't have, and it was very clear today that there's nobody that can fill that spot.
Yeah,
right. He goes down, and there's nobody.
The Deng thing is twofold too, because what the role that he's filling now as the small ball, you know, more like a stretch four, but you know, moving and cutting, that all of those elements are huge in itself. But
playmaking,
you could also see how it impacted Goran Dragic tonight. He looked all out of sorts for most of the game, and I think a lot of that has to do with. When you have Deng moving the way he moves, he doesn't want to sit still. Like the fact that we made him camp out in corners for a year and a half, I kind of feel bad for the guy, because what you could totally see what he wants to always be doing is moving, and that was not
Luol
there
Deng,
tonight.
Another sweater.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a very
he sweats
good one.
A lot. Yeah, he sweats
is,
a lot.
That's true.
So no, but and to credit to what Leif is saying, and not only does Deng allow them to go, you know, to downsize, play one big, and it's usually Hassan or Amari, but not camping in the corners, but he can't shoot. He is an able shooter, so he provides the third shooter for the space that they found. Because today, I know that offensively they played well in the first half, but in the second half, that help was coming every time Dwayne would get in the lane, and that's why Dwayne was just throwing up garbage, and he was making the garbage, but they weren't getting anything off penetration, nothing. And part of that was Deng not there to space the floor and playmaking, because he can take you off the dribble and make things happen. He might not get the direct assist, but by distorting the defense, and you have guys helping, and he does create a lot of things by moving and dribbling. So
I mean, he's just one of those guys that's always going to be a little undervalued, because he does a little bit of everything well. And if you keep, like you said, he loves, he just a ton of energy. I mean, he was used to playing 48 minutes under Tom Thibodeau. Like, he's used to just running and running and running. And if you just give him the opportunity to do that in positive ways, like, movement is always good. As you can see, the best teams in the league, you know, the Warriors, the Spurs of the leagues, they're constantly moving. They're constantly working to get a better advantage, a better situation. And you want guys like that. And that's why I think he's one of the most important guys to bring back next season. I mean, especially if you could get him at a good number.
This year for Luol Deng, 32 minutes, lowest since his rookie year, which he played 27. Last year he was at 33, lowest since his rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, that he probably averaged 39 minutes. I mean, I've never looked at the stats from his career years in Chicago, but I would imagine he had to have approached 40 minutes a couple seasons.
He was at 38, 39, 30, three straight seasons of 39. So, yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of his Chicago career.
Yep.
And then that year he was traded 23 games, 37, 39, 39, 38, 37, 34, 33, 37. So, heavy minute guy, but he's playing a career low in Miami, and that's good for him. And I guess I want to transition into what do you think they're going to pay him? Because I think they're going to want to keep him.
I think so, too. I mean, he knows the system perfectly at this point. I mean, it's crazy that he's only 30 right now. He seems so much older because he's been in the league so long.
He's only 30?
He's 30.
No way.
Yeah. No, oh my God. He looks and has been thought of as a lot older than he actually is.
He's only been in the year 11 years?
Mm-hmm. This is the thing with Luol Deng. I know that the organization wants to go after a big fish, like a big, big fish, and that's what they're going to go for first. And so that's going to require some patience on Deng's part in order to – I don't see us – unless we knew Bosch was going to be 100% on the court, no risk, I feel like you can't commit to a Luol Deng long-term and a Hassan Whiteside long-term and a Goran Dragic long-term. I would think you'd be more apt to try to lock up Whiteside and then bring back Joe Johnson, Wade, Deng, but on one-year deals, maybe paying them a little bit more than you would pay them on a multi-year deal, and then reset for 2017. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
That seems like best case scenario, obviously, especially in the last few years, because they're always looking as this is how this team builds. All our draft picks for years are given away. So you have to be building through free agency. And the only way that you're going to always be sure that you can build a good team is by not taking the risk of tying up a lot of money for a long time. So what do? They sign Luol Deng to a couple-year deal. They find these guys that want to come in and have better years than they had before. Guys like Amari and Gerald Green are short-term deals. And you try to build that way. And it's amazing because I feel like players, because they trust the organization, and you have the perks, obviously, living in Miami and living in a city where, you know, it's a pretty lavish lifestyle. Like, they will make exceptions, like not signing long-term deals to sign here. And the stability of the organization ties into that, too. I'm hoping they can do exactly what Leif said, because that's ideal.
I think something that's changed the game is how good Richardson's been. So you have Jay Rich, Winslow, and Hassan as a young core that has played very well together.
And Tyler Johnson as well.
And I keep forgetting TJ. But so you have these four young players. And I think what that does, and it kind of changes the dynamic of paying Hassan, right? Because the unit becomes something of a threat, or it becomes a threat that it is because of Hassan. So if you couple another, and Hassan has gotten better this year. I mean, we've seen it is palpable improvement. Even before, you know, everything. I mean, he's just been a better player. So
it's been unbelievable.
And if you give him another offseason to. His jumper has been failing him a little bit lately again. If he can really get that down really consistently and add another post move, not just a spin move, which I do think that he can do. You have a guy in him that is young, athletic, coupled with Winslow and Richardson, who are the same. And I think going forward with the core of those three guys, for the next 4 or 5 years is something that cheap, by the way, because you have Winslow and Jay Rich locked up cheap.
Well, and another aspect is that having that core, those four guys specifically, not only, and then also having Dwayne Wade in the organization, I think that if you would have asked everybody at the start of the season, or maybe even in January, compared to now, how attractive of a destination were we just aren't from a basketball standpoint. I think that the perception of that, the reality of that has changed considerably throughout this season. And that's like, I think, a huge component in luring a big fish.
But what I'm saying is that because of what's happening with the rookies, that it kind of forces their hand to pay Hassan when maybe they wouldn't have in the past, just because with him you have this young core. And I want to know if you guys think I'm off base thinking that, because of the emergence.
I'll speak again, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Christian, and then I'll let you go. I just wanted to get in that if he continues to play in a role that translates to winning, of course we're going to pay him. We'll be happy to max him out. But if he was the Hassan back from December, then we're, it's a different
conversation.
What I'm
saying is that what you're seeing now.
Oh, of course. You max him out on the first day of free agency.
But I give you the qualifier because I'm not so sure that if Winslow and Richardson didn't exist, I don't think I would be comfortable maxing him out. But I think because of their existence, I feel comfortable because I know, okay, I have a young core.
That it's not just to the puzzle. I get what you're saying.
Well, okay. It's not just an isolated piece of Hassan. He comes packaged with two cheap deals that are young going forward that are going to get better along with him.
I mean, for me, it's actually almost the opposite because now.
Well, you're fired.
Hear me out. Now, because you have, okay, especially with a guy like Josh Richardson now exploding onto the scene. I mean, you've seen in the last few games, you know, he had stretches where he was guarding LeBron, where he was guarding Kawhi. He's a
Morris D out tonight.
Yeah, he's a guy who can cover a lot of people relatively effectively. Another young guy, real long, and he can shoot. Apparently, you know, lights out now that he's got a little bit of confidence. So that really changes things. You got him. You have Justice Winslow, who's going to be one of the best defenders in the league in 3 to 4 years. You have Tyler Johnson, who's going to mature to be a very functional NBA player. I mean, now you have all these pieces here that weren't necessarily sure things before that have got to be intriguing to other free agents to want to come down here. So if anything, I think this may be
trade assets.
That's
Coach
another way
Ron
you could look at it too.
Rolling around in his grave.
I mean, that's another way you could look at it too. But I'm just getting that. If those guys didn't mature the way they have, or if we didn't fall into them like we did with Justice, I feel like you would have had to have kept Hassan even more because there weren't other great options around. So like now it's not so much. Now if we can lure a guy like, you know, like obviously like Kevin Durant's the big fish in this draft class, but maybe next offseason too, somebody like Russell Westbrook.
Paul Millsap?
No, he's not good enough. It's not a big enough fish, I don't think.
I'm all about Paul Millsap, dude.
I think you'd rather, with the money. I mean, I'd love to have him. He's a good player, but if you just look at the economics of it, if you're going to pay Hassan what the market value dictates, and you're also going to bring back Dang, Johnson, and Wade, you're not going to add Millsap. Like.
No, I was just kidding, but I don't think it's enough. And I also don't think you'd want to pair him with Hassan.
Whereas if you got a guy like Durant who's going to commit, then you make – then I feel like if you have to tell Luol Deng, you know, it's been a good 3 years or 4 years or whatever, then that – you know, it is – or 2 years, excuse me.
I don't know. I thought we were talking about it in the future.
Yeah, no. So I don't know, it's a tough thing because I spent a lot of this season thinking Nick Batum was like this prime example of what we needed to go get to be our small ball four, but Dang fits that role perfectly now, and I think you could get him at a much better price, but there's also this part of me that knows that when you don't know about what's going to happen with Chris Bosh, how are you going to commit to guys long term? Anybody besides like the Whitesides and the Dragons Drench, and then, you know, maybe a Wade.
The Dank thing, I think, is important because what you have in him with Joe Johnson, right, you kind of have, like, the big three had, like, Battier, I was going to say Millsap, Battier, Birdman, Mike Miller, right? You had, like, these veteran guys that were very good and that had that were smart players that knew their role. So now you have Joe Johnson and Luol Deng, Josh Richardson, guys that are that know their role, that are good support guys, role players. That the Heat have kind of retooled that part very quickly with very, very good quality guys that can make plays. You know, they're multifaceted players like Shane, Mike Miller, etc.
I mean, that's one of the things I like about this roster right now. There's so much versatility. Like, I mean, even tonight, obviously it didn't go well, but mostly it was because we're on the second night of a back-to-back against one of the best teams in NBA history, really. But, I mean, you have Nick Roberts starting tonight. You know, we have 10 to 11 guys on the roster that can come in and play, be functional. A lot of them can play multiple positions. It's a good roster. The only thing, too, is that a lot of the best players are getting up there in age, so that plays a role also in terms of how you want to build for the future. And it's a lot of moving parts now. That's the thing. It's almost impossible to predict how it's really all going to shape out because you don't know what a lot of these guys are going to ask for, what they're going to get on the open market. It's a lot.
Who the hell? Who's scratching?
That was me. My bad.
God, Christian, that was the loudest scratch. Did you take skin off?
I'm a hairy dude, so I think that adds to it. Like, it just adds to the sound.
Cut your nails, bro. Cut your nails, dude.
Man, that was, I mean, you okay? You all right?
No, I'm good. I'm good. It's just, it's a scar on my leg. I fell over when I was a little intoxicated a couple weekends ago.
I thought you were going to say your dad threw you down the stairs because you didn't learn the game.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly what happened.
You missed the joke. Who's this? Did you guys see this Russ Smith guy who scored 65 points in the D League today?
I'm seeing the same highlights.
Oh, are we all watching the same thing?
Probably. I think we are. Yeah.
DeAndre, you saw DeAndre's little dunk there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least, listen, I have to stop with the television while I do podcasts because I don't know if you guys can notice. I'm just staring directly at my television, and it happened. The last show I did with George Corrales and James Profeto, which has not come on yet because there was problems with the audio. So, audience, I'm sorry you have been cheated out of a good show. But while I was doing that podcast, Westbrook was playing, and I just kept staring at Westbrook. Like, my attention was not on the show. Westbrook.
It's hard not to stare at Westbrook. That guy is a freak.
I mean, when he gets the rebound and goes, it's just like, it's amazing.
I would love for Pat Riley to be able to have conversations throughout seasons with Russell Westbrook and see what he would become.
That's a Pat guy, though. Like, I feel like that's a guy that Pat would like.
And Spo, actually.
I don't know about Spo because he might drive Spo nuts, but that's a guy, like, he seems like he has that warrior mentality, that toughness, that desire, like all these intangible things that I don't really believe in but that Riley loves.
And honestly, he's a guy with such athletic gifts that I feel like he's never really been taught the proper way to play defense.
He plays with a chip on his shoulder. Riley loves guys that plays with chips on their shoulder.
I think they could turn him into, like, a freaking
the best player in the league.
I was thinking of a cartoon, Tasmanian Devil. Like, he is already, like, out of control out there sometimes, but in control. That's what's crazy about him. He takes it to a
controlled
point where you think he's that guy in the Mighty Ducks that was incredibly fast but couldn't stop. What was his name? Mendoza? You remember that? I think it was like the second or third one.
Listen, you know what I watch, and it ain't Mighty Ducks.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I didn't ever watch it. You know?
Listen, your analogy, I get your analogy. I don't know.
He's a rare.
How alone do you feel right now?
Athletic gift. I was surprised. I feel like everybody's seen those Mighty Ducks movies.
I mean, no?
Nah. I thought everyone listened to Tribe Called Quest before today, and I found out a lot of
people. I didn't even know who those people were. I just saw people died, and I was like, I feel bad for y'all. I don't know who that is.
And that's totally cool. It's not expected that everyone would know that, but that's just something that I learned today that I was not aware of.
No, that happened to me, too. Alf, like, put some quote up on a tweet, and I had no idea that it was, like, a lyric. And it was, like, something about shooting a load in someone's eye or something. And so I just, like, tagged like a little like quick GIF on it. GIF.
I say GIF. I know it's. I think correctly it's GIF, but it's
honestly,
I, like
I pronounce it GIF because I'd rather just do that.
It's GIF, dude. It's just I don't. GIF. They can say what they want. It's fucking GIF.
And then he like replied with something about it was some reference, and apparently it was a reference to one of the guys from A Tribe Called Quest, and I had no idea that that's what it was.
I can't believe Alf knows how to use GIFs. That has been the most surprising thing to me. Because all Alf does is complain about technology. Like, yes, he doesn't like learning.
That's true. But it's just, Twitter makes it easy.
I'm surprised he knows how to tweet, to be honest with you, the way he talks about technology. Like, he hates it.
That's funny.
Poor Alf, dude.
I loved it when he the only time he's ever DM'd me was when he asked me to Photoshop the face that he uses as his Abby on his kid on a picture of his kid at the basketball
game.
Oh,
he asked you for that?
Yeah, that's funny. He asked me to
the
do
one
that.
Where they're like at center court, like facing off.
Right, he's facing off against a kid that's like 8 inches taller than him or something like that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
that's so funny.
That was actually a pretty cool post, actually, on that. Or tweet. Sorry, post.
The first time. Yeah, I know. What the hell, man? The first time Alf DM'd me was trying to get Izzy and Ethan a show. You remember how hard he campaigned for that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's also campaigned for Eat Beat to Waxy.
I know. Hey, listen. At Entercom. Okay? What the fuck do you have on your airwaves on Saturdays? Give us a fucking chance.
It should be you.
Should be us, okay? We have rotating panel.
But you should be the host. I'm definitely holding up my Gianni 2016 signs.
Let's go, dude. Let's make this happen. We have rotating panel on Saturday. You know, who doesn't? We don't have to work on Saturday. You just go into the studio and wherever you guys are. If you guys don't live in Miami, we could do it remotely. I mean, come on, we can make. Come on, 790. What do you have on Saturday?
These days, the technology.
I mean, come on. I mean, get real. Don't they have like syndicated programming on Saturday?
I hear a lot of local guys usually. Actually,
they're bad.
With that platform, I bet we could get Spoon to speak up.
I would ask the company for a weekly segment, just like updates with Spoon.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if we have to pay him, and just like, you know, a little 10-minute segment of Spoon just giving us his basketball
like
updates.
Like those hot take tweets when he would go on a rant like Stu West does.
Oh, and during Dolphin season, it'd be great.
His account was always the best during Dolphin season because he would get so angry at everybody who would constantly be trying to throw Tannehill under the bus. I honestly think that's what drove him off finally. Somehow, did he leave during basketball season? He did, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah. It was after a loss. Something happened and he got mad.
Somehow I still feel like this is Dolphins related.
Remember when did he leave? Was it this season?
Yeah, it was
last season.
It was in December, wasn't it?
You know, it was this season, but I don't remember exactly when, but it early on this season. I don't even know.
We're confused. Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's a good place to end this on. Listen, audience, it's 11:53. I got to get up at 5. I know everybody else has to get up early. We're doing this for you, for the people.
Hey, we still did like 56 minutes. It's pretty solid.
We did. We were sleepy. We did this after a sad game against the Spurs that we barely talked about because there was nothing to talk about because it was just sad.
We're going to reel off 4 straight, though, and we're going to feel great about ourselves in about a week when we win 4 in a row. So look forward to that. And
how about my bad advice today when I saw Heat plus 10.5 and I said, oh, that's pretty big. I think the Heat will keep this close.
Oh, no, man. I won yesterday, and I was like, I am not touching this at all because I already had a bad feeling about it.
I didn't even look. I saw 11.5 at one point, and that was it for me. No,
I wouldn't have bet on it, but I advise people to bet. Like, I wouldn't have done that.
Oh, you're that guy. Tell me how to spend my money.
I wouldn't have done that. No, hold on. Wait. I think the surest bet all season. There are two bets that I know were very sure. One of them was the over on whatever Luke Babbitt's points were, right? Like, that was like...
How much did he end up scoring? He was like in the like 20s. 20.
Yeah, it was in the 20s, and the only reason it wasn't more because he got in foul trouble.
Unbelievable, man.
The best betting story so far this year is that, and we can end on this, Cleveland was favored by one against Golden State when Golden State visited Cleveland. And Golden State beat them by like 45 points. So that, like, to take Golden State plus one was the easiest money ever.
Yeah, the most low stress money ever.
Yeah.
Is this I just realized Mike Scriba's been wearing a LeBron jersey. He just came up with my timeline again.
Well, yeah, yeah, like, no, he gone taped to the back.
You didn't see that.
Gone taped to the back.
Oh my God, that's hilarious!
No, it's great. That's why I asked you guys before where he lives, because I was like, wait, was he actually at the Spurs game, at the Spurs Heat game tonight? Because that would be hilarious if he was.
Oh my God, I just saw that on my timeline. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's what he did. And actually, another follower, this Dr. Pablo, I can't pronounce his last name off the top of my head, but he's at the game also, and he was like three rows behind him, and he initially tweeted it to me and Mike Ryan and Silky and a few other people and said, look, Hegan is at the game. And then I wrote back, that's actually Mike Scriba.
Mike, yo.
So that is amazing.
I do wanted to say one thing about the betting. A coworker was asking me, he's like, so, you know, what do you think today? And he's like, I'm going to start sports betting on basketball. And he's like, so what do you think today? And they think it was the game that the Heat, it was the game that we went to go see when the Heat played the Rockets.
Oh, really? That game? Oh, God.
And I said, listen, the Heat won, there was a 3 or 4 at the time. I think they had just won their 4th game in a row.
Yeah.
And I said, no chance in hell they win the next one.
Yep.
Because Marcus Thornton is there and just, they don't win 500. They're not. I thought that was a sure bet.
I mean, Marcus Thornton awful story. is a guaranteed 10 points on 4 shots.
Yeah, Marcus Thornton, random scrub heat killer king. I proved it. Him and Wayne Ellington. One funny thing I saw on Twitter was somebody going through the schedule and said it should only be 3 more losses the rest of the season, and somebody goes, correction, 4, comma, Wayne Ellington.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, I mean, that is one good thing, though, about the rest of this season is we have a pretty easy schedule. So they got to win the games that they got to win, because I think there's a couple back-to-backs while we're on the road. And other than that,
three seed, three seed, three seed, three seed.